Welcome back in. Baldface Truth on the BFT Radio Network. Judah Newby in for John Canzano. JC down in Vegas for the Pac-12 tournament. And that's where we go right now, talking to Steve Mims of the Eugene Register Guard, as the Oregon Ducks looked dominant against Washington State last night and post the largest margin of victory in the history of the conference tournament, 33 points. Steve Mims joins us now. Steve, thanks for taking the time. Were you surprised at all by that whitewashing that Oregon gave to Ernie Kett and Wazoo?
Not after about the first 5 minutes. If you watch the first five, Washington State was pretty sloppy, and Oregon was too, and Washington couldn't take any advantage, and then it took no time at all. Oregon rolled out 18 in a row, and it was just over. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Oregon had handled Washington State twice, including last week, so you certainly thought unless they, you know, came out and just, you know, looked brain dead, it was going to be an advance for them. But to do it that way was pretty impressive.
I mean, defensively, this Oregon team seems to be playing at another level, right? I mean, just how impressive has it been to watch this team when you see them up close and personal on the defensive side of the floor?
Yeah, it's really something. You know, you see Pritchard, and Pritchard's getting on guys as soon as they cross midcourt. Lou Richard's another guy that, the perimeter-wise, and Ehab Amin obviously came in with a defensive reputation. We've seen it since. You know, we've gotten used to in recent years with Jordan Bell and Wooten and that you knew there were kind of some shot blockers at the rim, but I think it's probably as good a perimeter defense they've gotten over a three-week span. So, you know, they've still got Wooten, obviously, and then they've got size inside with Francis Okoro giving them a body to push around, and, you know, Lou King with his length at 6'9". So it sets up as a pretty good defensive unit. It took a while for them to kind of get it going, but I think they've the five straight games that they have not allowed more than 61 points is the first time in the shot clock era for Oregon. So some of the numbers are starting to pile up.
What's Dana Altman saying about all this? Does he seem surprised, or does he say, hey, it's about damn time?
Yeah, I was going to say, we keep hearing, he keeps saying, yeah, boy, I wish they'd done this earlier. You know, kind of says that about everything with them. But yeah, but he said, you know, the parts of, I mean, certainly, you know, defensively, when you looked at this team at the end of the year, you thought it'd be good because, you know, you had Bol Bol in there. So you thought you had 7-1, and then suddenly Wooten gave you two guys. So I think, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, how Oregon, you know, kind of based its offense around Bol and then had to kind of change some things. And I think probably we're finding that the same thing's true defensively. Once he went out, it took them a while. And, you know, Francis Okoro wasn't playing a whole lot, and suddenly now he started and really played well for them for the last five games. And Miles Norris is another 6'10 guy who wasn't playing a whole lot, but his roles come on. So they've had a couple guys, in particular those two freshmen, who they weren't getting a whole lot out of and weren't really able to trust for a whole lot of minutes kind of midway through the season. But now it seems like they're much more comfortable putting them out there under any circumstance.
The best thing that came out of last night for Oregon, besides the big victory, was what? And by that I mean, was it the fact that they didn't have to play their starters a lot of minutes, or was it the fact that they got a lot of good bench production and that can be sustainable moving forward in the tournament? Was there anything in particular that you would have highlighted as being the biggest positive takeaway from the win?
Yeah, I think you mentioned it's the minutes. They didn't. Nobody played more than 24 minutes, and certainly recently, and nine scholarship guys, so they're only going to play nine, and you know, they need to obviously go 4-for-4 here to have any chance at the NCAA tournament. So if you end up like, you know, Colorado yesterday, you know, which plays Oregon State today, they played seven guys and played, I think, five of them more than 30 minutes. So Oregon was the exact opposite. They had their starters on the bench the final 4 minutes. I think the two guys who played the most minutes, I think it was Will Richardson and Ehab Amin, two guys off the bench at 24 minutes. So, yeah, I mean, Oregon, you know, it's tough. You know, when they're the 8:30 game, you know, they get back to the hotel by midnight and stuff, but I assume they sleep in today and go through something light, and they shouldn't be too bothered by, you wouldn't think they'd be fatigued at all yet against Utah and, you know, see what happens tonight. But heading down the way, the fact that the minutes didn't pile up in game one at least gives them a better feeling about their possibility of making a run at four.
Oh, yeah. I know Oregon beat Utah in the regular season on the road in Salt Lake, and Vegas has the Ducks as a 4.5-point favorite right now going into this matchup with Utah. Is this just one of those things that Oregon matches up well with the Utes?
Yeah, I think it's the fact that, you know, Utah's, you know, probably the least intimidating number three seed we've seen at the Pac-12 tournament. You know, you go back a couple of years ago, you know, when Oregon, Arizona, and UCLA were all top 10 in the country, so number three seed in this tournament was a top 10 team. Well, now the number three seed is a 17-13 Utah team that's, you know, got no hope of an NCAA tournament unless they win it. So I think a lot of it is just sort of, you know, in Utah kind of worked, they didn't play well at all in the non-conference, so that's what kind of makes your record look off. And so I think some of that affects the betting line. And then just the fact that Oregon, you know, it's basically five straight games that they've played really well, played really good defense, pretty much blowout victories in all five. And I think that you look at sort of just kind of where the teams are at right now, and then you add in the fact that, yeah, they won the only matchup, and it was on the road. And I think all that kind of adds up to give people the thought that Oregon's got the edge. But, you know, we'll see. Obviously, Utah's, you know, big thing is shooting. They lead the conference in field goal and three-point shooting. And that's one thing that we've seen here that, you know, with the arena, some teams have taken a while to get used to kind of the shooting angles in there. And maybe that's an advantage for Oregon, having played last night, whereas Utah hasn't.
Talking to Steve Mims of the Eugene Register Guard. Follow him on Twitter, @SteveMims_RG. What's the buzz around T-Mobile Arena, Steve, when you're having conversations either with fans or other media members? Is everyone kind of looking at the way that Oregon is playing? And is that conversation starting to swell that Oregon might be this team, this sixth seed, to run the table in this thing?
Yeah, I think you saw that even, you know, just the fact that they came in with the longest winning streak at four, and they, you know, finished the regular season with a win over the conference champ, and, you know, they've got a win during that stretch over the number two seed ASU. So I think if there was a dark horse pick coming in, it was Oregon. And yeah, last night, you know, people were kind of saying to me before the game, you know, this team ready to make a run, and I was saying, you know, well, they're playing well, but, you know, they haven't put together five straight games for us, so you wonder how long this thing continues. But after seeing it last night, and that buzz certainly ramped up with what you mentioned was, you know, the largest win in the history of this thing. And again, the way they did it with their defense and not having to exert too many guys, too many minutes.
What do you think about these other quarterfinal matchups? Does USC have a chance against Washington?
I think so. USC was my dark horse team to win it just because I think they're so athletic and so talented. You know, they haven't been able to put it together during the regular season, but I think that's a team that you look at and, you know, just with Benny Boatwright and Rekosevic inside and Kevin Porter on the outside with, you know, good point guards and short. I think that's the kind of team that's maybe just talent-wise. If, you know, you're just going on talent, they might be as talented as everybody they play here and getting the chance to go 4-for-4, getting desperation because they're not getting in the tournament without winning it. So I think they could. I'm also coming off of seeing Washington play really poorly Saturday, so I might be a little bit judged by that. But I do think the Trojans can win that game. I would pick the Huskies, but I think it'll be close. And I think if USC gets it rolling, like I say, that they can carry this thing through as well.
Well, you know, that'd be fascinating what that would mean for Washington if they lose in the quarterfinals, because they don't necessarily have the strongest schedule themselves either. That'd be interesting to follow. How about the Beavers? They are 2-point favorites with Colorado. You know, I guess we're going to find out today, Steve, how much that first round bye either helped Oregon State or maybe helped Colorado because they were able to get a win under their belts. But what do you think about the Beavers and Buffs?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that 2-point line goes down before tip-off. It feels like everybody around here is talking about how, you know, Colorado came in. That's now four games in a row they've won. Oregon State on the other side, and they lost 4-6 or 3-4 to end the regular season and kind of stumbled in. So there's sort of been this feeling that Colorado's kind of riding the wave and Oregon State's stumbling in. But Colorado didn't play well yesterday. You know, they barely beat Cal, the worst team. They had 23 turnovers. So that sort of, I think, turned the tide a little bit towards Oregon State. But, you know, it's a big one for the Beavs. Just, you know, they haven't been in the semis in a while. And this team with this experience, if they get in the semis, and particularly, you know, if Washington, you know, they just took Washington into overtime at Washington. So I think if they're there, they feel good about it. They've beaten USC this year. So, you know, I think the Beavs look at themselves as, you know, just, you know, in a anybody can win it type year, sort of a why not us type deal. You know, they, like I said, they may have the best, you know, overall player in the conference in Trace Tinkle. They've got some experience of struggling in some close games, but I think they feel like they can go out there and get Colorado, then they go into the semis feeling like they've got as good a shot as anybody at the automatic bid.
Steve, appreciate your time, man. Thanks for talking some Pac-12 tournament with us. We'll continue to follow your work @SteveMims_RG. Seeing a post you wrote up this morning with all of Dana Altman's Pac-12 tournament memories, and they all are coming rushing back to the forefront of the brain, man. There's some good memories of Dana Altman Duck squads. I mean, he's built himself quite a legacy already.
Yeah, and Utah's been, you know, this is the fifth time they've played Utah in the Pac-12 tournament, and Oregon's won them all. That may be another thing that, you know, some of the people making the betting line are looking at. There have been two of them have been blowouts, including the champions from Oregon and two buzzer beaters. Oregon made the buzzer beater, and Oregon blocked Utah's buzzer beater. So it's been a pretty interesting series that's certainly tilted Oregon's way.
All right. That's awesome stuff. Hey, thanks a lot, Steve. Appreciate the time.
You got it, June.
That's Steve Mims of the Eugene Register Guard joining us here on the Bald-Faced Truth. Big thanks to him. More BFT on its way next. Still got a bunch of audio, plus the 2 at 2. And the best thing that happened today is Oregon getting ready to play in the quarterfinals. This is the BFT.